This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Syria on the BetRivers Network.
Well, hello and welcome to the Betting Weekly Serie A podcast brought to you in association with BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. As per usual, you're with myself, Dan Roebuck, and freelance Italian football journalist Daniele Fisichella. Daniele, this is the last roundup this weekend before we break for the World Cup. It is going to be strange, isn't it? Because we're not going to have any football over the course of late November and all of December, and then we start again in January.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very, very unusual. Never happened before in Serie A, never happened before in the European football. And of course, there are already talks of who's going to benefit the most from the break, who's going to be disrupted. You look at Napoli and their longest unbeaten run of 14 games. But then again, you know, I think it will all depend on how the World Cup goes, who comes back quickly. So it's very difficult to start making some prediction for sure. Napoli have got a very healthy lead, +8 on Milan. So obviously, you know, they are definitely the team to beat.
No doubt about that. A reminder, you can watch all the games this weekend via the BetRivers app. Every single Serie A game is streamed live, so you can watch along and take advantage of Daniele's selections, because over the last month they've been fantastic. We're in profit. We've already had a couple in midweek as well. We are recording ahead of the final games in midweek, but it's sure to be another profitable week, as it has been by and large over the course of this season. We are in the green, so to speak. And also, don't forget, you can download the show to listen to via a podcast as well as watch it on our YouTube channel. So match day 15, final weekend before the World Cup break. Here we're going to kick off with the league leaders. Napoli, they take on Udinese. Napoli are the short price favourites, -210. Udinese +550. Big price, draw +375. Now, I was just looking at one or two stats here, Daniele, and this goes against your selection, but I just want to get my point across first. The game that Napoli won in midweek, Empoli, looking at one or two stats, Napoli didn't create a lot in the first half. And I'm just thinking, maybe teams are getting more and more defensive against Napoli. Is that true, or is that just a one-off, do you think, against Empoli in midweek?
I think Empoli managed to stifle them a little bit. They were set up to counter-attack, and the same manager of Empoli, Paolo Zanetti, was really happy about the way they set up. And then in the end, Napoli got the lead thanks to a penalty that maybe it was a little bit doubtful. The way Osimhen gains it, in Italy we call him rigorino, little penalty. Is the penalty that the VAR gives instead of a rigore. So yeah, you're right. I think they did struggle a bit with. With Empoli, but at the end of the day, it was a midweek game. Spalletti had to make a couple of changes, and it's always difficult, I think, for a big team, especially after such a big fixtures. And now at home against Udinese, last game before the World Cup, top scorers in Serie A, of course, Napoli, 14 games unbeaten. They seem to have overcome the kind of syndrome of playing at the Maradona, which cost them a lot of points last season. So they seem to be much more assured. And they do find the goals one way or another. Again, the changes of Spalletti from the bench made the difference. Politano was not having a great game. In comes Lozano, who gives the assist and then basically changes the game. Same with Zielinski, comes in the second half. Udinese, they seem a bit laggy to me. I seem a team that started the season very well. They were the fittest team in Serie A. Now they are there without a winning five. And they don't run the same way. If you look at Deulofeu, it's a shame because he started the season so well, but now he kind of walks around the pitch, and in the opposition half, he doesn't produce the same attacking threat that he used to do. But again, you know, they couldn't win a Spezia. They got a draw in the end. They hit the bar at the last minute, so it could have gone either way. But for this one, I think Napoli definitely favorite. You know, they should finish the year on a high. So I'm going to go. I mean, it's really difficult to squeeze some value. So I found Half-time, full-time Napoli, plus 114. So Napoli to win at the 45th minute and the 90 minutes. That plays plus 114. I know it's not happened. It hasn't happened much recently, but everything suggests Napoli should go out to a flying start against Udinese.
Yeah, what I do like about this game as well is that Udinese, just looking at their possession stats, they are a side that like to have quite a lot of the ball. Their last five games, they've had more possession than their opposition. That would suggest to me that they are quite happy taking the game to Napoli. They will have a little bit more of the ball. They will not bunker down like Empoli did against Napoli midweek. So it might give Napoli more of an opportunity to get in behind, I think, Daniel.
Totally. Udinese is a team that likes to play direct football. Often they overcome the midfield and they go straight to the forwards' battle success. But okay, if Napoli is aggressive, they can recover the ball as well and launch some counter attacks. By the way, Kvaratskhelia might be back for this one because he missed the last two games and Napoli still won. So obviously with the Georgian in the team, there is even more of an attacking threat, especially if they recover the ball in dangerous area for Udinese.
Okay, so Napoli versus Udinese. Napoli to be leading at halftime and at full-time, plus 114. It's getting harder to squeeze some value out of Napoli. Absolutely. At the moment. That's because they've been so good. But we found one here, we think. They are very short price favorites just to win the game at minus 210. Let's move on to Samp against Lecce. Sampdoria plus 165. Lecce plus 195. The draw plus 210. Over and under mark here is 2.5. Plus 118 over minus 162 under. Dejan Stankovic in charge of Samp. Have we seen any sort of bounce here? People tell me that when new coaches come in, they get a bit of a bounce. Well, they've lost their last two, Daniele Sampdoria.
Yeah, and they lost them badly without scoring. And I think they were outplayed in both occasions by Fiorentina and Torino. We saw a little bit more of reaction in terms of aggressivity. It is true that in certain games with under Stankovic, Sampdoria pushed the line a little bit higher. Stankovic tried to play with two up front, Gabbiadini and Caputo. The problem is none of them can score. It is a team that lacks a lot of quality, I think. It's not been strengthened in the summer and do lack a little bit of belief, but the numbers are appalling away and at home. And looking at the worst attack of Serie A, only six goals scored. Second worst defense, 25 conceded, four defeats, one win in the last five, only one win overall. So yeah, they are in regulation form. And at the moment, Spezia is 4 points ahead of them. So they need to start racking up the points and do it quickly. Lecce, the newly promoted Lecce, has got twice as much the points of Sampdoria. We can say that they massively deserved him. Lecce, it is a team that, spends most of the time defending their own half. But they got a style of play. They know how to counter quickly. They got players like Banda, like Cisse, like Strefezza, like the Sandy Francesco score against Atalanta. They play quick, 1-2, two touches maximum football. And, you know, they get into the opposition half very quickly. They're very good in the turnover. And they can create problems. And as we often say, it is a team that scores against top teams no matter what. They score against Inter, score against Fiorentina, score against Roma, almost score against Juventus in the post the last time, score two against Atalanta. What a great performance. Also based on defensive solidity. The likes of Baschirotto, who scored the goal, has been one of the revelations of this season so far. So really well done to the team of Baroni for tackling it, the Serie A, really, really well. I don't think they're going to lose this one necessarily. I mean, Sampdoria, obviously, they are the favourites. But I think Lecce are really, really tough to beat recently. Asian handicap zero for the visitors, the Salentini. In the first half, which plays minus 107, which is a conservative one, of course, if the first half ends in a draw, as is most likely, you get your money back. If Lecce goes and win the first half, you win 107.
Minus 107 is the odds. They are the odds for Lecce. Asian handicap, not in the first half. Just need to win that first half and money back if it is all square. We're hoping for another Sampdoria nervous game there, I think, against Lecce. Should be an interesting one. Let's move on to the game on Sunday. This is lunchtime local. Atalanta against Inter. Atalanta plus 200. Inter the favourites plus 132. Draw plus 265 is the outsider of the three. Inter massive winners against Bologna, 6-1, five different goal scorers. And Atalanta, their form just seems to be wavering a little bit potentially here. And both teams were quick off the mark, and they have been. It's been a feature, hasn't it, Daniele, that we've seen quite a lot of goals in the first half when these two teams have scored this season? Talk us through the selection here.
Well, Inter 6-1, same result as last season against Bologna. Same win, very large win. They needed to bounce back after the bad results and I think bad performance in the second half at Turin against Juventus. They actually, Bologna took the lead, and then Inter were much better, you know, much more assured and comfortable. What Inter hopes is this is not just a fluke, because they were absolutely clinical in front of the goals. Really, they didn't create more than 7-8 big chances, and they took most of them. The problem with Inter is when they travel, because they have conceded 16 goals away. This is the second worst defense away, if I'm not wrong. 20 goals conceded in total for Inter. Also one against Bologna, although it was a big deflection. So perhaps Inter defense not a fault, but Onana had to do a couple of saves there. So the question is really, can they keep the door shut when they travel away from home? Let's not forget, Inter haven't really won a big game so far this season in Serie A and lost 5. They were all big games. They only beat Barcelona in the season, lost twice to Bayern. So this is to be considered a big game. And let's see how they respond. We know that the Inter management wants to cut really this bad habit of going away and being defeated. There've been meetings during the week between Inzaghi and the management. So he is under pressure for a game that really Inter cannot afford to lose. They are minus 11 on Napoli. They might be a couple of points behind the fourth spot level with Atalanta. Atalanta, 3 defeats in the last 4. He made 9 changes at Lecce, Gasperini. And I think it showed a bit in the first half. They were a little bit off the pace. In the second half, it changed straight away after the 45th minute, bringing Deron and Maela in. The team had more chances, but the damage was partially done by the sluggish start in the first half. Look, Atalanta, they've never been a great defensive side ever under Gasperini. And I was really surprised and impressed when they conceded so few goals this season. At the moment, they conceded 12, which is a very respectable tally, of course. Inter conceded 20. But it's about really finding the balance for Gasperini. I think Gasperini wants to have an attacking side, still perhaps hasn't got the right players in the right position. And sometimes there is a lack of creativity behind the striker, the likes of Malinowski, for example, or Pasalic. They are so intermittent, they don't really help to make an easy selection. Atalanta, we know at home, they are worse than away. They've always been like that. They've always been leaky at home. I think this is going to be a goals game. Over 1.25 goals in the first half was doubles your stake, plus 100. So if there's only one goal in the first half, you get your money back. You get half your money back, you lose half your stake. More than a goal, you win, plus 100. Of course, there is another one that I like to highlight. Who scored for Inter in midweek? Lautaro Martinez. And we know Lautaro Martinez is a streaky striker, hasn't scored for 5 or 6 weeks. Now he scored. Good news for whoever wants to pick him as a maybe top goal scorer for the World Cup, because we're approaching it. But, you know, the price for Martinez to score anytime, I think, will be around 150, 160. Check on BetRivers later. But, you know, the Argentine, when he starts scoring, he scores for 3 or 4 games in a row.
Yeah, we've seen that over the course of many seasons, haven't we? Watch out for those BetRivers updated prices. Probably going to come through on Friday morning, European time, after all of the midweek games have been completed. Yeah, like goals in this one, certainly first half. You sense that Atalanta are going to come out firing, and both have been scoring goals in the first half this season. As we mentioned, let's move on to the Sunday afternoon game locally, 3 o'clock in the Italian capital, Stadio Olimpico. It's Roma against Torino. Roma minus 122, Torino plus 360, draw plus 270, over and under mark 2.5, minus 105, over minus 130, under. Roma helped by Sassuolo in midweek. They've only scored 16 goals this season, fewest to the top 9, only 6 at home as well. Here they are turning into a typical Mourinho side at the moment, Daniele.
They have this peculiarity, Roma, that at the moment they play badly and they make the opposition play badly as well. So it could be either a good thing or a bad thing. But really, the last few performances of Roma overall, including the derby, they've been a tough watch. Roma, since Dybala got injured 5 weeks ago, really, they really struggled to score more than a goal in a game. Yeah, they did at Verona in the dying moments of the game, but really, they really find it hard to to create chances, and now you can feel the tension is building. Mourinho criticized one of his players at the end of the game at Sassuolo. He said he was disappointed, and he's suggesting to find a new team for January. People think it's Karsdrup, who didn't really defend very well for Pinamonti equalizer, but Karsdrup is not gonna go in January because he's such an important player for Mourinho. Also, he hasn't got pretty much anyone else on the right hand side. Look, I feel a bit for Mourinho because in the summer he thought he had a very different outline and a very different team with Wijnaldum, with Dybala, obviously with the recovery of Spinazzola. We haven't seen those players much. So he has what he has. The defense, it is what it is. Up front, Abraham scored, but he's been in bad form. Alongside with Belotti, doesn't work. I think Zaniolo is not the player he was pre-injuries. And if in midfield, you need to play with Cristante and Matic. Well, good luck, because you know the creativity is not really that forte. So they are struggling. They're struggling away and at home. It's very difficult for them to score. And they face a Torino side that actually at home they get the points they deserve now. Another win, 2-0. Early in the season, they created many chances, perhaps didn't convert them. The return of Miranchuk is really important. First goal for Radonjić in the league. Still a negative goal difference for Torino, -1, score 15, conceded 16. So very similar numbers to the one of Roma. Is a side that when it goes away is very difficult to play against. He press high, man marks. We know how aggressive are Juric's team. So I think they're going to make it really hard for Roma to go past them. For this reason, I'm going to go for an under one goal in the first half, which is -120. So if the first half finishes 1-0 each way, you get your money back. 0-0, as I suspect it might finish, you win 120.
That's the selection when it comes to Roma against Torino. Sunday, 3 o'clock local time, that game underway. One more fixture to look at. This is Milan against Fiorentina. Sunday, early evening kickoff locally. Milan -139. And there might be some takers for that. Fiorentina +395, draw +290. Over and under, can't split them, -117. Milan had 71% possession against Cremonese. Only an expected goal number of 1. 16 attempts, 5 on target. That would suggest to me that the quality of targets, of quality of shots, wasn't that great. I didn't watch the game. Did they deserve something from the game, Daniele?
No. I mean, I think the draw was good, although the Cremonese keeper, Carnesecchi, was the man of the match, and they made a couple of big saves, one especially on Origi. But Milan didn't move the ball quickly enough. In the end, Cremonese had a plan, sit back, try to hit them on the counter. Milan never risked to lose the game, but I don't think they were even close to win it. So good point for the newly promoted side. And, you know, Milan had to do without Leao, had to do without Theo Hernandez. Well, Leao was in the bench. Theo Hernandez was suspended. Giroud was suspended. And the complete right-hand side of Milan, we know they're all injured with Florenzi, Calabria, and Selemakers. It's not working. I mean, if you look at it, the new signings, they are not really leaving a lot of an impact, because if Origi is not scoring, only one goal so far, De Catelera is almost disappeared. Only 5 starts in the league, 1 assist. He has not leaving a great mark. The rest of the new signings were young players, mostly in defense. Thio, Vranks, Serginho Dest. They're not getting a lot of minutes. Basically, it's the same team as last season, which did well progressing in the Champions League. More rotations, a few injuries, considering also they're missing Magnan, for example. You know, they're not doing very well, but probably that's what we should expect. And they have struggled recently, really, especially to negotiate the games in between the Champions League and the league games. So really poor tally there. Fiorentina on the other side, 5th win on the bounce. We suspected something might have changed, something might have clicked since the win at Spezia, and it did. They scored again 2 goals. They find a goal late with Jovic, 3rd goal for the Serbian so far this season in Serie A, couple in the Conference League as well. It's a team that's got a much more belief, and probably they are returning to the quality or the points tally that they would expect to have. It's gonna be difficult for them to finish the season on high. Milan is -5 from Napoli. They can't really lose points here, otherwise it's very difficult for them to recover, and considering also they've lost the first game against Napoli, so the head-to-head might in favor of Napoli. But I think Fiorentina is going to give Milan a good game here. They found a good starting 11, and I think they're going to score goals. Milan, I think they're going to score goals, helped by the return of the aforementioned Theo Hernandez, Leao Giroud, both to score an over 2.5 goals, which is what happened last season when they played in Florence. They finished 4-3, as San Siro finished 2-0. Both to score an over 2.5 goals, plus 133.
Like that one. Milan's 4 the last 5 in Serie A, and Fiorentina 6 the last 8 in all competitions have been both teams to score, yes, and over 2.5 goals. That's plus 133, better value than minus 177 just for over 2.5 goals. You can always do those same game parlays, of course, on the Bet River site. That's how you can squeeze a little bit more value out of the games. Like, let's remind everyone of the selections. Final weekend of Serie A fair before we take in the World Cup. We are back in January, of course, in the Italian top division. This is how the slate looks. Napoli against Udinese. Half-time, full-time here. So Napoli to be leading at 45 and to be leading at the 90, plus 114. Roma Torino under one goal in the first half, minus 120 on the Asian handicap. Sampdoria against Lecce. Lecce draw no bet in the first half, effectively, is what we're looking at here, minus 107. Atalanta against Inter, over 1.25 goals in the first half, again on the Asians, plus 100. And Milan against Fiorentina. I think this is probably one of the best bets, and certainly the biggest price that we've got for you this weekend. It's both teams to score and over 2.5 goals, plus 133. Really good point made by Daniele Giroud. Of course, missed out. He's in the World Cup squad for the France national side, so he'll be happy, and he's been great form, hasn't he, recently. That's week 15 when it comes to the picks. As regards the handicappers league table, you may well have already seen there at the bottom of your screen that Daniele has pushed on to plus 3.54. Can't tell you how good that is when it comes to tipping in. You know, every single week, we're trying to find bets for you. Daniele's trying to find bets for you, and to be plus 354, terrific effort. Obviously, if you're following Liga, even better, plus 863. This is our handicap. As one or two of the leagues not doing so well, we appreciate that. We can't get it right in every single league, but look at the profit we've got in the French League, Portugal, also the Premier League, and Serie A with Daniele, and still some tips to come this midweek and, of course, at the weekend. So that's how the Betting Weekly Handicappers League table is lining up at the moment. That does wrap it up for this week. Daniele, I know that you're going to be with us for some World Cup content as well, aren't you? You're looking forward to that. Which groups are you looking at?
So I'm looking at Group G, which is the one with Brazil, Serbia, Switzerland, and Cameroon. But of course, we're going to be looking at the best bets, the props. So, you know, the quirky bets I've lost as well. And of course, the most important one, who's winning the World Cup? Still haven't figured it out.
That will be good. Daniel is going to be in the studio with us. We're going to got lots of content for you when it comes to the World Cup finals. Awful lot of pre-tournament shows as well. Yes. So watch out for that, which will be coming your way over the course of the next week, I would imagine, obviously, because the World Cup finals are getting underway very shortly. Daniele, enjoyed your company over the course of late summer into the autumn. And as far as the Serie A is concerned, we're going to be back in the new year. Daniele, thanks for joining us.
See you soon. That has been a pleasure. Bye-bye.
Fantastic stuff. That's your lot for this week. We'll speak soon.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Serie A on the Bet Rivers Network.